Hey, I'm Laura.
And I'm Kit.
And we work together in the food business.
And we thought, hey, let's start a podcast.
Yeah, to highlight everything fresh, local, and honest.
Yeah, food and business is how we get to experience community together.
So join us for this adventure. Fresh, Local, Honest, the podcast. Fresh Local Honest, the podcast. I'm Laura.
And I'm Kit.
And we're back. And we just wanted to kind of check in and do a quick little, like, where are we, like, in the season? So, like, when we started recording this podcast, feels like it was a little bit of a different world, right, Kit?
I mean, it was a different world.
It was like 10 years ago that we started this project.
Yeah, I remember shooting the episodes, and we were talking about how work was and everything, and then 6 weeks in.
Literally, like, the entire world, like, got flipped upside down with this COVID-19, and, you know, we're based here in Central California, so we're continuing to deal with regulations and, different counties are open. Some of them are more open than others. A lot of places require masks. Kit and I are working in the food industry, and so we've continued to work throughout this entire process. But a lot of people were off for quite a while or working remotely from their house. And so it's a different world, right? Like, my kids are elementary school kids, and so they were home. So obviously that is a change in my life. And so, basically, like, the entire world, besides essential workers, they decided to send us all home. So it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. The quarantine.
Right. 2020. When is it over?
The year. I keep seeing the funniest graphs on, like, the things of importance on 2020, and they make you laugh every time.
Right. Like, I'll take a real good meme right now, like, to kind of joke about all the things that have been going on that have been now our new reality. But we kind of wanted to remember, like, where we started. So when we started recording, we were, you know, able to be in a room with other people and recording and not worry about these things called now social distancing and different things that we now have to, like, deal with. And so the first half of our season, we, like, didn't know that this reality was coming, right? So we were talking to Ampersand, we were talking to the Annex and different and Sal's and Certified Meat Products and kind of hearing where they came from, their stories, and here we are.
I mean it was just so interesting to go through that process where we did go through and shoot all those videos, and then we get to the end of it, and then the quarantine happens, and you know, we're trying to be careful and not, like, I mean, we basically put podcasting on a pause.
Well, yeah, like, let's be transparent with you guys, right? Like, we were like, should we even release these episodes? Like, I thought it was super compelling, the stories of food producers and restaurants, but was the story still compelling after all of these things that are kind of turning our world upside down? And I do think they are. Yeah. And so, today we wanted to kind of talk about, with a theme of, like, State of the Union, but, like, how the president kind of gets up and says, like, the state of our nation and where we're strong or, but, and so we kind of wanted to do that, like, the state of restaurants or the state of food here in the Central Valley. Like, yeah. So we wanted to kind of take that as our theme and kind of talk through that during this episode. And so, and kind of weave some of the examples of what we kind of saw people doing throughout the season. So.
And what we keep hearing over and over and over again is how refreshing it is to be able to have a podcast and hear what's going on with local restaurants. It's been a nice change of pace for people that I think that are stuck at home, and all they are getting to hear is the news or even some of the social media, and just being able to hear the real stories of restaurants and kind of what's happening. So that's kind of what we want to dive into a little bit, is, like, even, you know, the stories that we've been hearing about being around the industry and just kind of just sharing the, you know, what's going on and, you know, kind of a little bit of past, a little bit of present, and a little bit of future on where things are going.
Yeah. So industry insights and, like, what we see where food's going. And so I think the first thing that I noticed throughout this entire process was the strong innovators are going to survive. And I mean, let's not, I can't see into the future, right? Like, I don't know, but there's some true innovation that's going on in the restaurant industry in general, because they're trying to make it. Like, they're getting scrappy. They're clawing their way, like, to win today, because winning today looks different than winning was in February, right? Yeah. And so what do you think, Kit? Can you think of a time like...
Yeah, I mean, if you think back on February, I mean, ideas of like Grubhub, Uber, DoorDash, you know, like these takeout services, I mean, even doing delivery seemed to kind of almost like it was being hard to receive. Some people were totally on board with it. Some people weren't. And right. In a matter, I mean, it was March. I remember just getting up on a Monday morning and kind of hearing like, hey, what's going to happen with everything with the COVID-19 and how are people going to respond? And I remember within 3 days, we went from like, we're not sure what business are going to do to businesses completely closing down. I mean, it was a Monday to a Wednesday. And by Wednesday, business doors were closed. People were put on quarantine to keep everybody safe. And everything totally shut down. And right. In that time, that's what we saw was we saw kind of like, we saw people start inventing. We saw the innovators start coming out. You know, we heard the stories of, you know, if you follow Jimmy Pardini at all in Annex, you know, we got to talk to him before this and he was already an innovator. And then seeing what he's done since this has happened,
he
really stepped up. It's been really amazing seeing these restaurants respond.
Yeah, even like Pardini, I mean, Annex just on its own opened a market. Then they, you know, obviously Jimmy's in the Pardini family. They opened like even like a truck where you can get, I think, some, you know, tri-tip sandwiches and chicken and some good stuff like that. And I just heard that they're opening like a bar, like one of their rooms, like up as like a bar, and then they're serving some food. And so
that's pretty cool.
So that's like, obviously we're in a more open place right now with COVID-19 to where restaurants are able to do, I think, you know, some of their dine-in if they can space people out, social distancing and different things. And so, I mean, we saw restaurants delivering grocery boxes of like veggies and meats and where people were having trouble securing, you know, groceries and toilet paper. And
the toilet paper scare.
I mean,
does anybody remember when we were out of toilet paper?
I mean, did everyone in at least in Central California, did everyone in America just like go like, do I have toilet paper? Like, do we have enough?
I think that's what happened.
I think literally every single person.
I think one store ran out and then it became a meme. And then everybody thought that same question and went in the store and bought and we ran out.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But I don't know. It might be too soon. People are kind of like, too soon.
Too soon. I know. Don't use a Kleenex, not toilet paper, to wipe your tears on that one.
Yeah.
But the strong innovators we're seeing them at least, you know, scrape through and survive. And
it's,
I'm not sure if they're thriving, but they're surviving.
Yeah, I guess it was kind of like revealing. You know, like you've seen them do it in the restaurants already, and then it was so revealing, like when the panic and everything started setting in, and some people would go into hiding. The innovators didn't. They really stepped out. They transitioned. They pivoted. They changed. I mean, I heard everything from changing everything that they were doing. I mean, some were getting delivery
family
drivers.
Family meals
with, you know, Sal started doing the family meals and knocking it out of the park.
I
mean, Ampersand only did takeout and we're doing their little pints, but starting to sell them like
Ampersand
crazy.
Ampersand ice cream, doing delivery. I mean, so many innovators going on in Fresno. And I mean, even in surrounding areas, we've definitely seen so much going on. But number two, moving on, I think too, if you were successful before and had some resources, maybe had some money, and a following, I think on social media, that definitely helped your business survive. So if you needed to make a pivot, if you needed to do something different, you had a community of followers there ready to hear, what are you doing next? Just like Ampersand, right? I think that's an awesome example of that because they have like an amazing following here locally in Fresno. And they put it out there that they're doing delivery. And now I think they're even doing curbside at their locations, which is super fun. I haven't had a chance to do it yet, but I'm definitely looking forward to it this summer, especially now it's getting to be 110 here in the Central Valley. Oh my goodness. But yeah, like they had a following to be able to say, hey, everybody, we're going to go ahead and we're going to do delivery or we're going to do curbside. And their following was in their community was just surrounded them and supported them.
Yeah.
And so it was just super inspiring and encouraging.
That's what you see is how much community affects and helps these restaurants, these local restaurants. You know, it's local restaurants live and die on the community that they have
and the
relationships
fans
that they build with their community. So you hear of Max's, you know, and the relationships that they built, you know, just kind of being that neighborhood, everybody know, you know, the place where everybody knows your name and being able to go there and connect. And it's like, that's my place.
Yeah.
I want Max's to be successful because that's my place. And kind of even the same thing with Des, you know, last week when we had her, you know, just being able to hear her story on the community gathering and people, you know, just sending money saying, hey, we want to support you. Can we buy some burgers? I don't need them. Can you go give them out to people maybe in the community that needs it? So it even turned into like community supporting community through a business, supporting the business.
Wow.
We really just saw this great network, which sometimes you miss. You know, I think we've really seen in some areas, small businesses really almost kind of become successful in this, not because they changed, you know, they changed some things, but more the community got behind them saying, now I realize how much we affect these small businesses.
Another way to see resources is like the people that are surrounding you, your circle, your fans, your raving fans. And especially like in a time like this, they want to surround you and kind of create like some hype and some community and really support those restaurants that, you know, like obviously in a restaurant or in a food, you know, we were essential workers. So we were going to even when it was kind of scary, you know, there for a while, they were going to work every day, day in and day out, and seeing your community kind of surround you and encourage you and bless you in that way, I think was super inspiring and encouraging.
It's cool. And Steve Malanka really revealed some of that too with the farming community and how they connected. So it's almost like we've seen this community start to really shift throughout where it's like, you know, this great farming community that's now gone to community for businesses, that's now gone just community in general. You know, I think some people are just saying, I just want community. I've been stuck at home for so long. So we've really seen community come out in this and then be able to just hear the stories from all the different businesses and how it's affected the businesses and helped them grow. It's been really cool.
Yeah. So the next thing that I noticed was food people are a part of this essential worker network, which those are all new terms for us, right? Like, had we ever heard the term essential worker before this? I don't think so.
Yeah.
But
that's going to be like a new dictionary definition.
Yeah, I just want to take a huge sigh on that because, you know, working through this pandemic, I think it's been rewarding. And I definitely have seen like the community around us and our employee community kind of surround and like, yay team, like we got this and we're going to do this, but it's been tiring and it's been crazy. And so this food people are a part of the essential network and they to keep that food chain linked and for you to continue to have groceries available at your local store and food in your restaurants, like there's this essential network that's kind of behind that, working behind the scenes to make sure we have food and really delicious food and to enjoy here.
I think there's been a bigger awareness that's grown through it. You know,
like
before, you know, you'd hear stories of, you know, school students that didn't quite understand like where food came from. You know, it's like, oh, where does food come from? Oh, it comes from the grocery store. Or does it come from besides that? And you know, maybe we didn't know nearly as well as we do now.
Yeah.
You know, you hear of some of the meat plants that kind of closed down and all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, how does this affect us? Oh, meat's a little bit harder to get. Or toilet paper, you know. Hey, we're out of toilet paper, but the manufacturers are saying, no, we're not. We've got plenty. But just the process of trying to get it from the manufacturer in a truck to the stores, be able to distribute it in the stores, is quite a task. I mean, that's what I kept hearing is it's like, it's on a truck somewhere on the way here. It just takes a week for it to get to us. You know, in that week, we're all out of toilet paper. So all of a sudden, it's like this greater awareness of like, where does our food come from? How does it get to us? How do we acquire it and get it? Because I think for a little while there, maybe we got a little dependent on things, you know, like think about schools and how many meals we eat at schools, or right. even eating out, you know, all of a sudden all the restaurants are closed and it's like, oh, we depend on them. They're really yeah. important to us. So now as we're opening back up, we get to really be involved and understand the essential workers and understand where our food comes from a little bit better and be able to yeah. celebrate it, be excited about it, but also, you know, be thankful for the people that are in the trenches and doing everything they can to be able to get us our food.
Yeah. Yeah. No, seriously. Yeah. The essential workers, it's an interesting word because, like, you know, I've seen a few things too on like, well, every worker is essential. And I definitely agree with that, you know? And so I think we're going to come out of this with a more informed view of work, you know, in general and a new way to work, I think. Yeah. So we'll kind of see how that goes.
Appreciation. Like that's, right. I think that would be the most exciting thing, like talking about community, but also like honor within the community, honoring each other in the work that we do. Like, I think the community has really understood the importance of teachers. That's what I keep hearing, you know, like,
yes,
I think
schools,
I think the honor teachers are going to get after this is going to be unreal, you know,
right.
When they're able to continue working and doing what they do so well, you know, but in the same regard, the honor that we have for the essential workers in being able to bring us food, the honor that we have for people working in the restaurants, the truck drivers,
the grocery store worker, the stalker, the mm-hmm. forklift driver that moves your food around, yeah. you know, so
the farmer. I mean, that's what farmer, I kept hearing everything. Was, yeah. you know, we're a little part of a couple different farming communities and all of them yeah. were like, if I don't farm, we don't get food. Like
right.
we do, like they were kind of like, we can't stop.
Yeah.
We can't stop or else yeah. we'll lose our crop. We'll lose,
well, yeah,
you know,
even a few of our friends, like, so we have like a meat, like we have a meat plant related to, like where we work. And some of our friends were like, well, aren't you guys going to close? And so like me and my husband were like thinking through that, like, what if we did close? And then like this place wouldn't have meat, and it's an interesting, you know, thing to take it all the way far. Like, no, we need to continue working because we do, yeah. you know, supply food throughout yeah. Central California, and
yeah.
so
lots of grocery stores right. depend on you, restaurants right. depend on us, right? You know, it's yeah. really interesting. So, I mean, hopefully, as we continue to develop and grow out of this, because we're definitely still in this process and figuring it out.
Right.
It'd be really fun to see the honor that starts to be bestowed on others, like honoring who they are, what they do to help our communities
right.
In all the different areas.
Yeah.
That everybody's working
the
in a part of this.
The meat plant worker, the steak cutter, the grunt, you know. Yeah. The pickers and the mm-hmm. farm laborers and yeah,
you know, even Lorraine going to Washington and you know, advocating for restaurants and
right.
fighting for the people that can't, you know, just even all those different stories. Like
yeah.
That's a good,
wow.
There's a
yeah.
lot of different,
there's a lot to
there's
do,
a
but,
lot of people helping our community,
but I love it.
Yeah.
One other thing that I've noticed in this season of COVID-19 was a lot of these restaurants and food producers are generous and they're giving back to the community.
Yeah.
They're giving back to first responders. They're feeding those essential workers in grocery stores. We saw that with Take 3.
Yeah.
We saw that at Max's. And how inspiring is that? Like to be able to, and even I think JJ at Max has really had a great view of giving back. Like he's opening his doors and that's a give back to the community because like he really took back the veil on that and mm-hmm. said, hey, like we're operating at a loss right now. Like
yeah.
we're not making money, but we feel like we're opening our doors to service our community and that's what we're going to do. And I mean, what kind of the heart to like serve and feed your community. Wow. Like that made me so proud to be a Fresno resident, you know, in a Central California, you know, but a part of this food community here.
Yeah. I really appreciated that. Like him just being open and honest, like this is where we're at. We're losing money right now to have our doors open. You know, even restaurants that closed their doors were losing money because they still had to pay
absolutely.
Rent or, you know, everything else going on
yeah.
with the business. So, it's just one of those things, he opened it up and really showed us what's going on in a lot of restaurants, but it, some of the stuff's what we already know. The restaurants operate on such small margins, you know, and they have to make sales to be able to make their margins work. If you don't have sales, you're going to go upside down. And so the fact that a lot of these businesses lost 70% of their sales, you know, when the shelter in place went into place, it became hard for them to operate. And so basically, I mean, a majority of the restaurants were upside down. They're losing money and struggling and having a hard time, but they still opened their doors. They still gave. They still tried to stay connected to the community. They
stayed generous, gave away.
Yeah, I mean, it shows the testament of a lot of the owners' hearts too. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's almost this negative thinking process where businesses sometimes are bad, and we really saw the good side of businesses where they're in it for the community, the relationships. They're not making hands over fists on money. You know, they're
in a love business, right? Food is love, and they want to share that with their community. I think too, we saw that at the Central California Food Bank. And so like how the community has kind of surrounded them and blessed them with giving. And so they're able to give more food out. Mm-hmm. Farmers, you know, sending their fruits and vegetables. So they're able to give fresh food out to people who are struggling during this like economic pandemic, really. Yeah. And even like a place like a Bitwise that is partnering with Central California Food Bank. I mean, that was super inspiring in the food community as well. And how we just, there just is a care for each other here that I just super appreciated.
Yeah, it was so cool their support, you know, like Central California Food Bank. They were saying like, hey, this is what we're good at. We're good at giving away food, but there's certain things we're not nearly as good at, but we're going to start pairing with other people in the community and start being able to try to supply needs, be able to hit different areas, or be able to send food out in smaller trucks and be able to get it through neighborhoods, you know, doing the neighborhood delivery. So we saw so many cool things. And even with that, like, you know, people looking for jobs, it just reminded me of, you know, Matt Lloyd and Certified Meat Products and just, you know, his mentality on trying to give good jobs to people and get good people also in to be able to work in the environment. But in this hard time of like, okay, we're going to try to serve the community. We're going to try to help people out, being able to try to look and give jobs to people and create opportunity for them. Like, it was really cool to hear different businesses and how they're trying to even expand. I mean, you kind of heard that with the grocery stores too, where they're like, we're crazy busy. We're going to hire people on. We're going to give out jobs. We're going to create opportunities for people who maybe got furloughed or lost work or, you know, whatever, to be able to work and stay connected.
Yeah. I've heard of people getting furloughed in their job and then going out and finding a job at a grocery store like during this pandemic. And so I'm just super inspired by our community and how we're serving each other in it. And so I think that that's very evident in the food community. Obviously, we're super immersed in that. Yeah. And that's what we love to share. So that's who we are on Fresh Local and Honest.
It's kind of what we always wanted from our community, you know, like, you know, it's, you know, sometimes you go like trial by fire is kind of what I'm thinking, you know, and it's, you know, it's really, this whole process has been incredibly hard, but as we're still in this process, but as we're kind of looking back, I mean, even kind of doing it right now, we're looking back over the months and we're seeing the community, like the thing we always wanted. And now all of a sudden it's coming alive. Like, you know,
You would never ask for this to happen, right? Like who wants a pandemic or people getting sick or people, you know, obviously dying or being in the hospital or being in the ICUs. And, and so obviously you would never wish that, but it's, I'm grateful to see the blessings in these things. And these innovators and these restaurateurs and these food producers who have now kind of pivoted their restaurants and pivoted their food, to be able to deliver during this time, and really serve like Central California in a very unique, but awesome way. So, but Kit, I did want to ask you, pose this question, like, how do you think the outlook is in the food right now, in the food chain, in restaurants? I mean, obviously those are two different questions, but where do you see, I mean, what's your outlook in the restaurants? What do you think?
Yeah, the outlook is good. I'm trying to think of like what like a good idea, you know, like a good painting, a good picture. And the thing that came to me is like maybe like an older car. You know what I mean? And you fix out some parts on it, and it still kind of runs. But then all of a sudden you kind of like you zap it or you shock it, and all of a sudden the car starts running. And that's how I kind of feel.
Zap
like
it or shock it. I can tell you're a car guy.
Yeah. No. No. I'm mixing two different thoughts with that. I was thinking something different too. So I was thinking, what do they do to people when they shock them back and get them going?
Clear.
Yeah, that one. Yep. That's what I was thinking for a car. You know, like, I don't know why those two came together.
But yeah, like we just came off, like we were talking kind of before the podcast started, and how we've been on this roller coaster, right? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a Disneyland roller coaster, right? That was very well built and made, and you're good. It was like the rickety, shickety, shackety ones that are like at the county fair that you're like, I'm sick and I'm scared I'm not going to live through this.
Yeah.
Right? And it feels like there's like a little mouse like running like underneath, you know, making it all go, but you're going to probably fall off and die. But but no, like
through turns you have to hold on to the, you know, the railing to.
But now we're here in this like, you know, kind of we've been able to breathe a little bit. Mm-hmm. More things are opening up. I don't know. I feel like the outlook is brighter. It's sunnier out there. Yeah. I do feel like there is still like people are scared, obviously, and I think there's a reason to be, you know, of course. But it does feel it feels better out there. It feels and maybe it's this blazing heat of Fresno sun or Central California sun here. But I think the outlook looks brighter. Yeah. It's summer.
I think, yeah, and it's almost like this, you know, the word that keeps coming to mind is almost like forced evolution. Like we're in this process, and then all of a sudden we have seen creativity, innovation. Mm-hmm. The business owners have pivoted. The community has come together. Relationships have been built. Understanding and appreciation for each other's jobs. So as we're looking ahead to the future, we're all of a sudden seeing these things that we've been wanting for so long, and we're evolving very quickly into those things and able to start kind of really moving forward into the future. So we're seeing like just this birth of creativity in our lives, where we're going to start seeing probably some of the biggest advancements we've ever seen in business, in farming. I mean, in everything right now, in restaurants, in community, we're just going to start seeing some amazing things come out because this creativity has been birthed in us, and people are going to start operating out of that and start saying, hey, let's take the walls off this box and let's really see where this can go.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the outlook in food is bright. I think it's a great place to start a career. I won't speak for you, Kit, but I've had an amazing career in food, and it's fun, and it brings people together, and I get to taste some of the most delicious food like the Central California has to offer, and it's my job. What a blessing, like, that I get to be a part of a place like where food and community kind of meet. And so I think it's a great place. It's a great career path. Maybe you've lost your job during this pandemic, and maybe you're kind of looking for a pivot. Do you love food? I just want to encourage you and just take a step out. Food is a great place to find a career. And I think we even saw that woven through our season here. You know, JJ Max's is one that rises to the top, thinking about how he kind of started as, you know, started back as a busser and worked his way, and he owns the place now. And so, I mean, what an inspiring story of just triumph and just kind of finding your way in the world. And so food's a great place to find your way in the world, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, that's kind of what we heard throughout all the different stories, you know, Jimmy Pardini traveling to Italy and tasting all the different places, you know, McKinsey.
Jeff and Amelia. Ampersand.
Yeah. And, you know, saying, hey, what are we going to do? And, you know, cooking ice cream out of out of their kitchen, you know.
Yeah.
Gosh, I went home and tried that and failed miserably.
It
you know,
work as well.
Not nearly as well. I'm not starting an ice cream business, that's for sure. But maybe they'll take an investor or something. But
yeah, we all have our talents, kid.
Yeah, yeah.
We all can't be Ampersand.
But the food industry is so dynamic. I think people don't really realize that. And not just food industry, but even business. Business is so dynamic. There's so much that goes into it. It's certainly not a job for like dull or boring or anything. Like there's
right.
so
you're
much
always on
happens.
Your feet. We heard that from McKinsey too, yeah. right? Like always on your feet. There's always a problem to solve. There's always something going on. There's yeah. someone to serve. And I mean, yeah, it's fun.
Running
and
a restaurant. I mean,
yeah.
you're doing anything from paperwork, you know, you're doing your payroll, your paperwork, you're managing your budget all the way to working with guests, cooking food, working the front of the house, to cleaning mm-hmm. outside, to doing marketing. I mean, you see everything in the business world. You see everything in these restaurants. And so yeah. it really, it's exactly what you're saying. It's really fun to be involved in it.
Yeah. And even talking to all of these business owners, these I always say that word wrong, entrepreneurs, whatever. That word, the people
the
who
truth.
Start,
we're getting honest
start
now.
Businesses. I know I always avoid that word because I can never say it correctly.
Entrepreneurship?
So. Yes.
I don't know.
I would die to work for any of these like business leaders. They are just so passionate about what they do. They're so passionate about the people that they work with. They're so passionate about the community. And then they're so passionate about like producing an amazing and tasty and delicious food product. And so,
every personality was so good. You know, I'm thinking of Alex Registers and how excited she was in business.
I would love to work for her
and
too.
I wouldn't that. Yeah. I mean, it's, it definitely fun.
I want to take an internship at all y'all's restaurants. So Laura's coming in hot, okay?
Yeah. Putting out applications.
It's happening. No. I do have a day job, but yeah.
Maybe a night job?
I mean, I do have a family too. So I don't know how it's going to work, but it's going to happen.
It'll work.
No,
somehow.
Yeah. But also, somehow. I think we need to face too the reality. And like, I don't want to like have a gray, rainy cloud over this thing, but some restaurants won't make it. And so it's unfortunate. And some food producers aren't going to be able to kind of pivot in these times. And so, support the ones that you want to see thrive and survive during this COVID time. And
continue to encourage, you know, like that reminds me of Dez's story with her dad and just kind of how, you know, the business burned down and never got back into it. And then here after a handful of years says, hey, let's start a burger place again. And they start Take Three and are back at it and killing it. You know, like it's really cool. Like it, just because through this hard time, something happens and you don't quite make it out, doesn't mean stop being creative. Continue to let the creative juices continue to be entrepreneurial.
See,
that's a hard word.
I told you.
Okay, we're avoiding that from here on out on
I
the
think,
podcast.
Like, I was listening to another podcast this week about how you can't take failure away from success. Mm. They're like interlinked hand in hand. And so I think that that's true during this season almost more than any other. Like, don't give up, like, keep going and continue on. And if that road gets blocked and like, you're not supposed to go on that road anymore, let's jump on the next path, you know, and just keep hustling, keep digging in. It's hard. Take some time to rest, but it's hard.
I mean, on the bright side, it sounds like the pandemic's only, you know, come around every 100 years. So you should be good.
We'll be good for the next 100. We're not sure what the end of the year looks like, but maybe this is your time to strategize and plan and launch that next business opportunity. And so, I don't know. But
We don't know.
I do feel like, well, there's definitely going to be opportunities coming up.
Continue to hustle. Continue to go after it.
Yeah.
Take it as a learning. And we're behind you know, as a community. We really want to see restaurants continue to open. We want to see people continue to get involved and be going.
And continuing to feed me. So, yay.
Yeah. Continue to make good food.
Like to wrap up, those strong innovators will survive. If you were successful before, if you had a community and resources, like I think you're good to reinvest and continue in there. Food people are a part of the essential worker network. So we kind of figured that out during this COVID season, right? And then a lot of restaurants and food producers are so generous.
They are.
They love their communities, and they want to give back to their employees and their community. And so,
So good. Well, and you know, a little bit of an honest moment for us, you know, with Fresh Local Honest. We've been trying to, in this process, continue to meet with business owners and be able to continue shooting podcasts. And it's been tough and hard. I mean, it's these business owners have a lot on their plate. Yeah. They're trying to run their restaurants. They're trying to follow all the guidelines. They're trying to open back up. And so it's been a little bit hard for even us to continue with a podcast. So here we are at episode 12, and it's been the craziest best ride. Blessing of episodes.
Crazy.
It's been such a journey for us, but such a good journey. But it, just kind of being here, we said, hey, it's a great time for us to take a little bit of a pause. So, you know, end of season one.
Yeah. Email us at hello@freshlocalhonest.com if you have restaurants we have to try. So we want to, you know, obviously this season was a little more Fresno inspired, but we want to branch out and be a little more, Central California, go up into the North Valley, the South Valley. And so...
Yeah. And so send us contacts, send us people that we can, we'd love to podcast with, interview, send us places to try. Like, that's probably what we're going to do is go out and try food. Different restaurants. But we're going to take a little while to kind of retool, recalibrate. We're really excited for season two, and who knows what it's going to entail.
Yeah. And I just want to encourage you guys, be understanding and generous to those restaurant owners, those business owners, those grocery stores, those retailers. Wow. They have been open during this entire pandemic, and it has been hard. And they're trying to follow all the rules and the guidelines and make sure everybody's safe. I think just understanding and kindness, it just like I in Fresno is so kind. I've heard so many stories. And so I just want to continue to lift that up because, man, those business owners, we've been through it. They've been through it. It's a crazy, crazy time. So yeah,
we have a community has been through a lot in the last 4 months.
It feels like 5 years.
It does.
But it does. It's only been 4 months.
So here's the next 5 years.
Cheers. Yeah. So thanks for listening. Fresh Local Honest, the podcast.